There's four Johns in your Bible. St. John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. That's all I know of. So we're going to deal with the book of 1st John today. If you want to turn there. 1st John, not the Gospel of John, but 1st John. If you're wondering where that is, that's right before 2nd John. Okay. Praise the Lord. I want to talk to you today about the fact that God is light, L-I-G-H-T. And the book of 1 John deals with several things. It says that God is light, God is love, and God is life. And so we'll deal with God is light this morning. Amen. And we all have lights in the natural around our house, lights that come on if there's movement. Amen. Not in your bedroom, it can be on all the time. But if to kind of protect us from unwanted things that might come in. And so we're used to light, and that's one of the first things that God created was light. I guess it was the first thing he created, praise the Lord. And so we know that when it comes to spiritual things, God is light. He has shined his light upon this sinful world and its need for salvation, and Jesus is the light of the world. We know that he made salvation possible for everyone. But let's notice the scriptures together. 1 John chapter 1. Verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. Verse 2, for the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 4, and these things we write to you that your joy may be full. But this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Father, I ask, Lord, your blessings over the ministry of the Word of God today. May your Holy Spirit speak to the heart and the soul of every person as only you can do. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. There is much we can't deal with light unless we deal with darkness as well. And statistics, if you can believe them, sometimes you can't. The statistics say that around 75% of youth fall away from faith in college and never return. That's sad. 1,700 pastors leave the ministry every month in America. I don't know how accurate that is. I hope it's not accurate. We have churches making all kinds of moral compromises as they disregard Scripture. And we're seeing a very rapid spiritual decay happening in the church world. Well, those are sad statistics, and they may or may not be fully true, but I know it's true in some places. And I know somehow, who would have thought, look at our nation today, who would have thought 2 decades ago that we would have believed that abortion on demand, legalized same-sex marriage, arguments over gender or bathrooms, for sex change operations on minors. All those things are symptoms of a nation that has no fear of God. And that is sinful darkness. But Jesus came as the light of this world. He didn't come into a world that was already okay. If it was already okay, he wouldn't have any need to come. But God has sent his Son into a dark world to deal with man's problem and give light of salvation to whosoever will. And so we know that God is light. Verse 5 there in our text, it says, this is a message we have heard from him and declare to you that God is light. and in him is no darkness at all. I think it makes it pretty plain, pretty certain that God is not pleased with the darkness of sin ever, but God is light, spiritual light. Amen. And so the first thing that God created was light. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now that was spiritual light, and he created the sun, moon, and stars later in his creation. But yet, the first thing he created was light. And so darkness must be dealt with if there's any fellowship with God here. The word fellowship is mentioned several times in this first chapter. And so we know that we want to have fellowship with God. And I hear the term a lot of times that people say, well, so-and-so has just fell out of fellowship with God. That's a nice way of saying they backslid. Okay? And so there's people that do that. And we do want fellowship, communication with God. And God has made that possible through his Holy Spirit. Amen. That we can talk to him anytime. You may say, well, I don't know how to pray. Well, you don't have to know how to pray. You just got to pray. Talk to God as if you would talk to anybody else. No, you reverence God more than you would reverence anybody else. But you talk to God. You tell him your problems. God can understand plain English. Amen. If the government can't, he can. Amen. So God created light, and in him is no darkness at all. And John says here, if we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, whether walk in sin, we lie and do not practice the truth. You know, John doesn't beat around the bush here. He says, you know, that it's not sort of off color, off base. No, he says you lie and do not the truth. So there can't be somewhere in between half a lie, half a truth is a whole lie. We know that. It's not a scripture, but it's truth. And so, originally, earth was without form and void. The Bible tells us that, Genesis 1:1. It was dark, it was empty. Void means empty. It was dark, and it may have come to this condition, the earth, with the fall of Lucifer from heaven. Don't know that for certain, but it could have caused the earth to become without form and void and darkness on the face of the deep. But you see, it was empty until God spoke it into existence. Without form and void does mean empty. And this is how a person's life is before they're delivered from sin. Only darkness until God does something, speaks life into that person. And that's what it means when you're born again, birthed, born again of God's Spirit. You become a child of God through new birth. The light comes on. You knew you were a sinner. You knew you were lost. And you invited Christ to come and to save you and forgive your sins. And the spiritual light came on. You were become a Christian. And today, where there is no gospel light, and there are places in our world where there is no gospel life, if the gospel light was everywhere, we'd have no need to send missionaries out, or we'd have no need to preach this morning. But there is darkness in our world, spiritual darkness. It needs light to come on. And so where there is no gospel light, people are dark with sin, with murder, with no value for human life. And you find places where the word of God has not been preached, where there's nothing to conquer the darkness or to confront the darkness, that people put very little value upon human life, and it becomes less and less the further in sin people go. To people are willing to take lives. You know, it's amazed me in our own country here, we hear drive-by shootings, and people drive by and shoot an 8 or 10-year-old kid just for the sake of killing somebody. And people do that. That's because there is no light in them. They're completely sinfully dark, and they need Christ. They need salvation. Amen. And today, where there is no gospel light, there is a value for human life goes way down. And let me give you an illustration. Islam, it promotes death and destruction of anything Christian. And many places where Islam is strong, you get the death penalty for being caught with a copy of the Bible, the Word of God. Why is this? Because the devil hates that, because light exposes darkness. Brings to light destructive behavior. And the good news is today, many Islamic peoples are coming to Christ, realizing that Allah doesn't exist, is a false god. And coming to Christ, they discover, hey, there's a God out there that does care, that does hear, that does love, that does understand. That's the kind of God we serve today, the one who is not far away from us, but he's near to all that call upon his name. And though the lowest and most filthy sinner you can think of, God will save that person if they'll, with all their heart, come to Christ. There's nothing is impossible. I want to tell you something. There is no depth of sin the blood of Christ cannot reach and set a person free. He can save the worst of sinners. Amen. And the light of the gospel of Christ is fought against because it exposes sin. Amen. And it brings to light destructive behavior. Let me illustrate this if I can. Many years ago, when I was living at home and my mother and daddy were there and all things were good and okay, it wasn't perfect, but amen, good as it knew how to be. And we had kept coming home after we'd been out to church or to the field. That's about all we did in De Leon, is you work, you sleep, and go to church. That was life. But we would come home, and my mother noticed that things on her dresser had been scattered around, and that there was just things were misplaced. We thought, was somebody been in here trying to steal stuff? But there was nothing stolen. It was just things were out of place. Things knocked over. And finally, we saw a place where a squirrel had nibbled through one of the doors to the heating closet and had enjoyed his freedom out in all the house. Things were knocked over and all that kind of thing, so we finally figured that out. So we had a Siamese cat then, and Siamese cats, they're nice, and this Siamese cat, well, I knew that's what he was because he had blue eyes. Siamese cat had blue eyes. And so we brought the cat in, caught a glimpse of this squirrel somewhere, and the squirrel ran up under a pillow on the bed. And my mother's afraid to pull that pillow back, but Daddy wasn't. But the lights were on, but the squirrel was hidden under the pillow. And so Daddy yanked the pillow back, and as soon as the light came on, I want to tell you, the squirrel ran out, and the Siamese cat grabbed the squirrel by the throat and stopped and just held it there till it quit trembling. So, if you're ever in bad shape, don't get a Siamese cat. They'll hold you till you die. No. But that's what it was. But when the light came on, it exposed what the problem was in our home. And I know that's a kind of foolish illustration of some kind anyway. But people's behavior is just out of sorts and out of order until Christ comes in. And when Christ comes in, it puts a chokehold on darkness, and light begins to expose darkness, and people realize they need to come to the light and be changed. Amen. And the good news is, in many Islamic countries, people are coming to know Christ, and even it's reported that Jesus appears to many of those people in dreams or in sleep. And they come to the knowledge of Christ. Praise the Lord. It's in the most destructive nation we can think of, you know, Iran, that there is a very strong underground church there where people believe, love, and serve and live the living God. Amen. So not everything about Iran, yeah, its country, its government is corrupt, there's no doubt about it, but many people have come to know Christ as their Savior, and we're sending missionaries and get reports all the times where people that are stuck in Islam are coming to Christ, and they leave the old world behind and follow Christ. I'm glad for that. Praise the Lord. Even if it means death to them, they will not renounce their faith because they found such reality in Christ. They found life and light. Praise the Lord. And Jesus came as a light to the world. Jesus came into a world that was dark with sin. Wherever Jesus ministered, it exposed darkness. As a matter of fact, it came so Jesus exposed so much darkness that they didn't really care for Jesus at all. The religious community didn't. Matter of fact, eventually they crucified him. But he's the light of the world, and wherever he went, he exposed darkness. He dealt with the problems. Amen. He didn't run people down or condemn people all the time, but he preached the truth. He taught the truth. He delivered the sick and the afflicted. He did what mankind could never do. Amen. One place, one guy said, never a man spake like this man. Amen. And there's never been anybody since that spake like this man. I want to tell you, God still speaks. God still speaks through his word. God still's talking today. He's still saying to people, you need me. You need deliverance. You need the light of salvation in your life. You need the light of the gospel so you won't walk in darkness. Man. So Jesus came to this world. It was spiritually dark. And you and I are believers. And we don't go around trying to find fault. You shouldn't go around trying to figure out what's wrong with everybody else except you. I heard amen. That's good. But believers who really walk in the light, they expose darkness. And Jesus said of believers, you're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. In Ephesians 5:11, it says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. And the writer here is not saying don't have anything to do with unsaved people. I mean, Jesus talked to people that weren't saved. He talked to people that were deep in their sins. There's no other way to reach them, but he did not participate in their sins because he never sinned. Jesus didn't. But wherever he went, the light came on and it exposed the darkness. Pharisees and Sadducees didn't like him because their fake and false stuff that they were teaching people, he would turn the light on and they were being exposed. And so you and I want to live a life that will expose darkness. Amen. And so Jesus came into the world that loved darkness. John chapter 3. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And people enjoy sin and they have fun in it. But when it comes to reaping the consequences of sin, it's not good. It is not fun. Evil likes darkness so that it hides sin. Evil and sin likes darkness because it hides motives and actions. And many sinful things are done under the cover of darkness. People get drunk in the dark sometimes. Yeah. People commit iniquity of all kinds, adultery and murder and darkness, because they depend on the darkness to hide their evil deeds. John chapter 3, Gospel of John. Everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. Jesus is talking to a group of people here. Boy, they knew they were guilty, because wherever Jesus spoke, guilt came when there was sin, because Jesus, everything he did, exposed darkness. And the enemy wants to cover up sin, camouflage sin, so that it appears to be okay. And many people have invented a gospel that they can live by, that they want to live by, that doesn't crucify the flesh, that does not limit anything this carnal nature wants to do. God's not pleased with that. Give us examples. Hunters, people that hunt deer, whatever they hunt, many times dress in camouflage, because it makes them look like their natural surroundings. Leaves, trees, bushes, to make you look just like you're not even there, thinking the deer or whatever you're hunting will just see, well, that's just another tree, or that's just another bush. Amen. I don't guess I needed amen. Anyway, but the enemy of your soul tries to camouflage sin so it'll look good, look just like it's supposed to be, just like you. Amen. So that the world, so nobody can tell the difference between you and anybody else. But you see, when we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of his son cleanses us from all sin. When we begin to walk in fellowship with God, that means you're reading your Bible, you're praying, you're seeking God, you're trying to grow to be like Him. Amen. The devil hates that because it exposes his evil empire, his evil kingdom of sin. And so Jesus is the light of the world. Amen. And it says here, but he who does the truth comes to the light that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. 3:21 of John, Gospel of John. John 8:12, Jesus spoke again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of light. And so God is not trying to restrict people from having a good time or enjoying good things. God is trying to keep people from reaping the benefits of sin, which is not a benefit at all, to reaping the consequences of sin. He doesn't want you to go all your life being condemned and knowing at the very end you get to die and go to hell. God wants you to be saved, delivered, and set free and have eternal life in heaven instead. You can't get, those are opposite things. Amen. You know, you don't sort of get saved. You either are born again or you're not. If you die without Christ, you don't go to sort of go to hell. You go really to hell, to a literal burning hell. If you're truly born again, you don't go to sort of better place. You go to heavenly, the presence of Almighty God with His Father, where everything is pure and perfect and good, and God has a place prepared for you there. Hallelujah. So we walk not in darkness, but we walk in the light as He is in the light. And believers are called to be the light of the world. Our life exposes sin if we walk in the light. Our security is in a walk with God, in a continual relationship with God. It's not that I got saved 10 years ago and hadn't been in church since and hadn't read the Bible since. No, security is in a continual walk with God. 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light, a walk with God is not just something I did years ago. It is a continual present relationship with God. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. When we walk in the light, I believe the blood of Jesus is continually cleansing. Where we fault, where we fail, where we sin, Holy Spirit of God brings our sin up to us and says, you need to repent of this. And the Word and the Holy Spirit has come to convict the world of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. If something's going to keep you out of heaven, I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit, if He lives in you, He's going to convict you and say, you don't need to do that. That's harmful to your relationship with me. And so I'm glad that the Holy Spirit is there. I don't want to live a life without the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. I need Him in my life. You need Him in your life. Okay. As a matter of fact, when you're truly born again, the Bible says we become sons of light. 1 Thessalonians 5, it says, 5, you are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep spiritually, as others do, but let us watch and be sober. I got to keep going with that. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us unto wrath, but to obtain deliverance, salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's move on here. True light causes sin to be dealt with. 8 of our text. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If you think you've evolved to the place where that you're not going to deal with sin anymore, my friend, as long as you're in this world, you're going to deal with sin. You're going to deal with temptation. You're going to deal with stuff. And God, the Holy Spirit in you, is there to help you deal with things that you can't deal with yourself. You said, you know, Jesus said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And that power was to witness, yes, but the power to live an overcoming, victorious life God gives by His Holy Spirit as well. And when you're not strong enough, I want to tell you, God is strong enough. His power is mighty. He's able to deliver and set the person free. He's able to walk you through things you can't walk through yourself. Amen. The Bible says, Isaiah 40:31, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall soar on wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You need God. I need God's help. I need the Holy Spirit. So true light causes sin to be dealt with. And sin needs to be dealt with daily. It is a part of the Lord's prayer. Amen. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So forgiveness is part of the prayer. Jesus said you need to pray like this. I think Jesus probably knew what he was talking about, since he's God, knows everything, doesn't ever fail. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sinned against us. Lingering sin, if not confessed and forsaken, will eventually grow and consume a person. If you just let it lay there, it'll finally take its toll on you. If you just keep indulging a little bit, I can't go back, and I'm a farm boy, so I'd have to go back to this. One day, we had cattle, we had crops, and we had an old cow one day that got down. She couldn't get up, and my dad called the vet, and he came. And what happens is, at the end of watermelon season, you just turn the cows loose. They love watermelons, and they'll go in there and eat watermelons. Whatever's left of the watermelons, they'll eat there. And so the veterinarian dealt with this cow and said, there's nothing wrong with that cow. It says she's just drunk on rotten watermelon juice. She figured out what watermelon wine was, I guess. Said she'll be okay. So gave her a day, and she was up, and she was a sober cow again. You see, if we continually just feed on that which is rotten and unholy and impure, after a while we become drunken and consumed by sin. So thank God the Holy Spirit is there to say, this is going to take you, this is going to cause you to go into something you can't get rid of yourself. My friend, we need God. And God will help us overcome sin, overcome its temptations. Amen. The Bible says that Jesus was tempted in all Paul points as we are, but yet without sin, he never failed. We have failed. But I want to tell you something. His blood can cleanse us. He can take us away. He can give us power to be an overcomer, to be victorious instead of being overcome by sin. Hallelujah. Proverbs 28:13 says, he who covers his sins will not prosper. But whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. Tell you what, friend, I'd choose mercy any day. Thank God for mercy. You and I are responsible to confess our sins. Verse 9 of our text says, if we confess our sins, what if we don't? We don't have fellowship with Him. We're not forgiven. We're not cleansed, but if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm glad that God forgives. Amen. Just confess and repent. That's what it takes. And so, we're not responsible to confess our sins to an earthly priest. Amen. Because Christ is the fulfillment of the priesthood. There's one mediator between God and man. Didn't come from the Roman Catholic Church. Came from God. Christ is the mediator between God and man. I had a friend. He's a pastor now. But he wasn't a pastor when I met him. He was lost. As lost can be. And he told me, he said, I thought if I went to the priest and confessed every week and took a chip, a wafer, washed it down with a cold beer, I was good for another week. Because I confessed to the priest. Let me tell you something. There's no priest that can forgive your sins. There's only one priest, high priest. That's Christ. He's the one mediator between God and man, not several mediators, one of many. No, he's one. It'll never work in any other way except through Christ. He's the one that died for our sins. He's the one that rose again from the dead. He's the one that offers eternal life. And salvation by grace through faith, not somebody, but Christ, the Son of God. And God wants you to be an overcomer. And that's somebody that has overcome sin. Romans 12, 21 says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. 1 John 4, 4, you are of God, little children, have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. 1 John 5, 4, whatever is born of God, that is, you're a child of God, born again child of God, overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Okay? And so we want to walk in the light as he is in the light. So that means in Christ there is no darkness at all, so we want to walk with the light of the world. If we notice in Scripture here, and I'm nearing an end, I've learned, you know, when I'm preaching to people, don't say, well, I'll get to that after a while. It's better to say, I'll get to that in just a minute. Okay, so you won't think I'll go forever. Okay? But in the plagues of Egypt and God's judgment on the Egyptian gods when Israel was coming out, one of the judgments was for 3 days there would be darkness. Exodus 10, 21, the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward heaven that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt. Darkness which may even be felt. That's really dark. And here the Egyptians, which were slave drivers, beating the people every day because they didn't make enough brick for this, that, or the other, there were no slave drivers in for 3 days. There was no forced labor for 3 days. They couldn't see their hand in front of their face. There was darkness over the face of all the land for 3 days. And that was a picture of the sinful darkness that was all over the world, because Egypt would be judged eventually for their treatment of God's people. But even in the tribulation period, after the rapture of the church, during the tribulation, under the bold judgments, Revelation 16 and 10 said, the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, that's the Antichrist, and his kingdom became full of darkness. You think something supernatural like this happens that people would say, hey, you know, we could have been wrong about this Antichrist thing. No, it says they gnawed their tongues with pain and they did not repent. You can't just be sorry for your sins or sorry you got caught. There must be repentance. God, I make the decision to turn from what doesn't please you and turn to you. I make a decision to turn from the darkness of sin and turn to the light of Christ. Because you see, that's what hell will be. It says in the book of Jude that those who reject Christ are be reserved to the blackness of darkness forever. You say, well, I don't know where Jude is. Right before Revelation, one chapter, but it says so much. Okay? So there'll be eternal darkness, the blackness of darkness forever. I can't imagine that. Hell must be an awful place, but heaven will be a wonderful place. Amen. I know we need to make this better. The Bible does make it better. Revelation 21, 23. The city had no need of the sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is the light thereof. Here's God. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth shall bring their glory and honor to it. Its gates shall not be shut by day, there shall be no night there. Chapter 22, verse 5, Revelation says, there shall be no night there, they need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever. My friend, I'm looking forward to going to that city where the Lamb is the light. Praise God. where there's no sin, where there's no dog. It's hard for me to imagine this, but I want to tell you something. We serve such a perfect God, such a pure God, such a holy God, that there will never enter heaven anything that's sinful, ungodly, or unholy. There will be no captivating thoughts of sin. There will be no bondages of sin. There will be nobody that's just hung over with drunkenness. There will be nobody that's full of darkness. But I want to tell you, it's a city where the Lamb of God is the light. Amen. There will be no sickness, no sorrow, no pain or death, because I can tell you, this same Jesus which is taken up from us is going to come again in like manner. He's going to receive his church to heaven, my friend. You don't want to miss what he's got for you. He's got eternal light for you. Not eternal darkness, but eternal light. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb of God. And this light will shine forever. Shine forever as the brightness of the stars. Amen. Praise God. I'm not wrapped up in pride or shining forever, that kind of thing. That may be of the world, but I just want to be with Christ forever. And you want to be too. Amen. Praise God. So God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Praise God.